Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily podcast on the Detroit Lions, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, let's play this dish on a Tuesday, September 13th, and a Wednesday, 9:14. It is time for another edition of Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry and you, thanks for listening on audioboom.com, on iTunes. Locked On Lions, we're having a lot of fun with this podcast, and this segment today. Going to be a lot of fun because the great, the legendary Mike Valeni from 97.1 The Ticket is going to join me in a little bit. Of course, you hear Mike each and every day on Valeni and Foster as he's joined by his co-host Terry Foster, who right now is out ill and recovering from a minor stroke. So it's a lot of days, Valeni and Jeff Rieger from 2 to 6. Mike and I worked together for 4 years at The Ticket. One of my best friends, a great, great man, and certainly has opinions on the Lions and everything that took place last year when the Lions left The Ticket. We'll ask Mike about that and much, much more coming up here on Locked On Lions. Thanks for listening on audioboom.com and on iTunes. Please subscribe if you have not listened to the podcast before. Basically, I'm trying to give you Lions content, especially for those of you on the third shift driving home late at night or on your way to work in the morning. Lions content fresh with interviews, opinions, and everything else right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So hopefully you subscribe and listen and like what you have to hear. Of course, we recap Sunday's game Sunday night. We got into what took place with the Lions and the Colts yesterday on Monday night. Even the great caller Brian from Detroit Sports 105.1 days. Remember Brian? D's. He joined me yesterday. We'll have Mike on in a little bit to talk some Lions football. Of course, you can find us on todayspigskin.com as well and on fanragsports.com. Some news from the Lions today on this kind of quiet Tuesday. Well, the Lions finally received their Color Rush uniforms today. The NFL has leaked out these Color Rush uniforms that teams are going to wear, sort of a third jersey if you want. And the Lions, ironically enough, they're all black with, very, very highlighted blue with black socks and everything. Lions Thursday Color Rush uniforms. They won't even wear them this year. All right? They're all over the internet if you haven't seen them. I kind of dig them. I like them. I'd love to see the Lions wear them at some point and maybe surprise the fans. But again, the NFL is making it so this is a Thursday night situation where every week having a Thursday night game, whether it be on NFL Network, CBS, or NBC. But because the Lions don't play a Thursday night game and they've elected not to wear them on Thanksgiving Day, they'll probably wait and unveil these uniforms in 2017. I like them. I think they're pretty cool. The Lions tweeted it out at 9 o'clock this morning, what it's going to look like. NFL Nike Color Rush 2016, with a picture of Eric Ebron wearing them. All black, black socks. I think they're pretty cool. And also the patch, the William Clay Ford Sr. WCF patch, will remain on the uniform as well. And they'll be on the Color Rush uniforms probably next year. I think the Lions, have acknowledged that that patch honoring William Clay Ford Sr., the late owner, will stay on the uniforms. I think they're cool. To sit here and be one of these fuddy-duddies, I like the older throwbacks that Barry Sanders played and everything. Those were cool, too. But these Color Rush uniforms, some of them have been kind of ridiculous. Remember last year, the Buffalo Bills and the all-orange and the Jets and those lime greens were kind of crazy. But I think the Lions ones and the all-black look pretty cool. I like it. I dig it. So I think it looks pretty good. As far as on the field, the Lions will take on the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday in the home opener at Ford Field. Titans lost to the Vikings 25-16 last weekend. It's a young Tennessee team with that young quarterback in Marcus Mariota. But one thing I kind of want to mention after watching football last night, two games were played, Redskins and Steelers, of course, and Pittsburgh going into Washington and opening up a can on the Skins. And also the Rams, you know, leaving St. Louis to go to L.A. Jeff Fisher getting his 15th lifeline. They get shut out, shellacked, poleaxed by the Niners 28-0. One thing I took away from last night's games, and maybe you feel the same way I do listening in your car right now, is that to sit here and say that Marshall Faulk's prediction at the beginning of the season for the NFL Network that the Lions were going to make the playoffs, we all laughed at it. We did a podcast on it last week if you want to tune in. It's on the audioboom.com site and on iTunes for you. You know, you watched Washington play last night. They're terrible. Like last year they won the division and they rode Kirk Cousins and the you like that party all the way to the playoffs. I don't see a very good football team, and I know it's one game. But I didn't see a very good quarterback or a very good football team on the field last night in D.C. And then that second game was an absolute tire fire between the Lambs and the 40 Winers. I mean, just awful football. Carlos Hyde's a beast. But is Chip Kelly going to really turn Blaine Gabbert into some star after 1 year? And I know the Niners' defense is healthy, and Bowman was flying around last night. The Rams have no quarterback in Case Keenum. Jared Goff, the number one overall pick, is in street clothes. He's in civvies, and he's the third stringer. So to sit here and go, oh, man, the NFC is going to be tough for the Lions to make the playoffs. You know, if they win Sunday and they can get on a little bit of a roll and maybe surprise some people, why wouldn't they be able to get in? Those teams last night were terrible. Now, we know the class of the division is Green Bay. We know the Vikings are still better than the Lions on paper. All right, but with Bridgewater out, I'm not ruling it out. I'm not telling you they're going to win 10 games and mazz it up for you and tell you it's going to be hot butter all fall here in Detroit. But let's call it what it is here. The NFC is nothing special. Nothing special at all is the NFC. Not at all. And that's one thing. And one point I just want to make definitely in watching last night's games. We know how good Seattle is, Arizona, despite losing to the Patriots. We know how good they are. Of course, Green Bay, Carolina, Minnesota should be good, but man, oh man, there's a chance in watching some of these teams last night. And with Dallas not having Tony Romo for a while, there's a chance the Lions can be up there. But certainly their defense has got to get better after giving up 35 points against the Colts last week. Must be better. Hey, by the way, first week of the NFL season's in the books, baby. How did your fantasy football team do this weekend? Did you get killed? Are you already sick of your fantasy team? Well, did you get in on the fun over at FanDuel? FanDuel.com. If you didn't, it's not too late. Week 2 is only a couple of days away. Week 1 games, like I said, are in the books. If you had Matt Stafford in FanDuel, if you had Andrew Luck in FanDuel, if you had Carlos Hyde on FanDuel last night, you made yourself some cake, right? Well, fantasy football for everyday fans, new contest starting every week is what we do at FanDuel. No busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time, all right? Upgraded experience this year for you guys that haven't been on FanDuel yet. Get even more contest variety. There's beginner contests for new players. Settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head contest. Play for a dollar. Choices for every budget. It's all there for you at FanDuel.com. All right, this week, Sunday, $1 million contest is paying out $200,000 as well to first place. Talk about your experience. I will. FanDuel's fun. It's fun. It's easy. You just do it on your phone. It's awesome. You want it? You're not paying attention to the 1 o'clock games? How about the 4 o'clock games? Get it done at FanDuel. They've got it going on. Hey, try FanDuel right now. Get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contests valued at up to $50. You'll get 1 free entry a week for 5 weeks. Value of free entries varies based on deposited amount. All you got to do for that is go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my promo code LOLIONS. That's FanDuel.com, promo code LOLIONS, void where prohibited. Check it out. What an honor here on Locked On Lions. Matt Derry with you. Joining me now here on this Tuesday night into Wednesday. Nobody loves their Lions like this guy right here. The co-host on Valeni and Foster, the best there is when it comes to sports talk in Detroit. My main man, Mike Valeni, giving us a couple of minutes. What's up, Mike?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good to hear your voice.
Nobody loves their Lions like me. That's cute. I like that.
You like that, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Let's talk some Tribe.
Oh yeah, we're talking how awful Yan Gomes was this year.
Are you really going to be mean? How can you be mean? You can't be mean to me.
No. I'm not. They're doing well for you. Just let it be.
Dude, how you been? I like this new Sunday morning gig. I give Deb and Jimmy credit. I love at the ticket that they gave you a little Sunday morning NFL show. It's awesome.
I appreciate it. It's something I wanted to do for a long time, and I've said it on the show. You know, once the Lions left, it was, you know, part of the 10% of stuff I couldn't say. And it's, look, in truth, I mean, I pitched it 3 or 4 times over the previous 7, 8 years, and it's something that's been done successfully in other places, and I felt like we should have been doing it all along. And it's stuff, like, Matt, like, you know, it's stuff you can't do during the week. Like, I can't sit there and go deep into, you know, Packers and Jaguars, and I'll lose my audience. So it's the ability to talk about the world outside of Detroit, NFL-wise, and then, yeah, kind of, I think the phrase you and I always used to use was, like, geek out or radio for two or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it has a place. It's just tough to pull it off during the week. So Sunday morning, you know, you're out getting your coffee, or, you know, you're going to a family event, whatever it is. Like, there are a lot of people who want to hear NFL talk, and I just think I'm able to do it honestly and not, I don't know, not in a phony way, not in a way where you have to, like, be positive. Just talk about what is. Talk about what you think and what you see. And, yeah, I thought it went well this week, and I'm looking forward to making it better, honestly, and keep progressing.
Who's on with you? I know our man Mike Sullivan is on the ones and twos, correct?
Yeah, Sully's on it. And then Bogey, Kyle Bogey, is doing the updates, and he's in the studio, too. So, I mean, you know how I like to run the show, and it was the same when you were there all the way through. Like, I don't limit guys behind the glass, and I'm not a believer in it. I think you want to have a group deal, and everybody knows, you know, kind of what their role is once you give them a chance and they establish themselves. So, yeah, it's the three of us, and obviously I drive the boat, but I think both those guys are really good, and I have a great relationship with Mike, and he does a hell of a job, and, you know, I think Bogey's got a lot of talent, too, and those are the two guys I picked. Those are the two guys I wanted to have with me, and it went well. I'm really happy with week one.
Mike Valeni is our guest here on Locked On Lions. This is so weird, like, interviewing you, dude. This is crazy.
I know. Listen. I mean, what is it? It's you and I talking. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's not, this isn't like, you know, it's not like Dateline. It's just, I'm waiting for you to ask me about clock management so we can really have fun.
No, I have to go back to the beginning because you mentioned the Lions leaving your station, and you're not a guy that, you know, wants to be quoted in the paper or anything else, and there was the big blow-up. Heck, I remember, and I can let the cat out of the bag. When we were 105.1, and I was going on the air at 3 that day that the Lions left the ticket, we were in the office listening to you at 2 o'clock. I mean, let's call it what it was there. How's it changed for you? How is it over there without the team being on the air?
I think it hasn't changed for me a lot because I know I screwed up in the past. I don't run from that. I know I made mistakes. I mean, everybody remembers some of them, and, you know, some people remember all of them. But look, in general, okay, if you take my 12 years here, in general, I don't really think I've attacked the Lions on a personal level. You know, a one-liner here, or clearly, you know, again, I'm not perfect, but overall, I pretty much keep it between the lines, and if you win, I'm nice, and if you lose, I'm not. So it hasn't changed a lot for me other than, like what I mentioned earlier, I can do the 10%. I can tell you that, hey, they don't want me on the air the day their games are broadcast, or here's why I haven't done a game day show for X amount of years. You know, I can say some of those things or do some of those stories where before, obviously, I couldn't.
Right, and, right.
You know, I made my life more difficult by pushing boundaries, but what people don't realize, and I said it on the air that day, you can go back and listen to it. You know, I tried. I mean, I openly did try to have a relationship with them, but they were never interested. It was always a relationship on their terms, and whether it was sitting down with the people who had an issue with me or doing the business-oriented things or doing the charity thing or whatever it may be, I did it all. And at some point, you just say, you know what, I'm done. And it's just, it is what it is. They are who they are. I am who I am. And, you know, away we go. And the other thing, too, real quick, Matt, is it just, I don't want people to think it was just me. Like, that's not it. It was more than just me. But was a lot of it me? Yeah. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said no. But it's so silly, man. It's just, you're a football team. Like, that's it. You play a kid's game, and you make, you know, millions and millions of dollars. Like, it's not that serious. If you don't want people saying, hey, you're not a good football team, win more games. It's so stupid to me. So, that's all.
At any point, Mike, at the end, was there any kind of last Hail Mary attempt by either side, or was this ship already sunk?
No, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I don't really get into the business of other guys. They do whatever they do. But, like, not by me. I mean, I had basically given up God a while back. I mean, whether it be people who I work for, my employers getting, you know, phone calls and getting into matches on the phone, stuff like that, that was just further prove my point to them. So, no, it had been done for a while in my book, and, you know, it's simple. You know, you open the season 1-7 or whatever, what do you think people are going to say? I think it's one of those things, too, Matt, where it helps that I didn't grow up here because I have an idea of what real football looks like. So you hold... No, I don't mean that as some like crazy smarmy dig or
come on, that's anything. It's a nice little shot though. Come on.
No, but I'm being serious. Like, see, I mean it. Like, if you've been here forever, right, and you don't know or you haven't felt or you haven't seen what it's supposed to be, then how do you ever know what you're really missing? You think you know, but you don't. The Lions have never given these fans anything. And I don't think, as much as people hold them to a standard, I think a great majority of people have opted for the other option, which is, I quit. I'm done. I don't care about you anymore. I mean, I think the only city that could rival the Lions is Cleveland with the Browns. And I know they have their diehards, and I think those people are sickos. But a lot of people just don't bother saying, well, I'm going to get angry about these guys. A lot of people have just given up and said, to hell with them, or SOL, or anything else. So, yeah, I mean, it's sad. And I hate seeing people do it because you got to value your money and your time and your Sundays. And it's, you know, I marvel at how people still go down there. I really do.
But I will say this, Mike, and I think you'll agree with me. We were talking to Mike Valeni here on Locked On Lions from 97.1 The Ticket, of course, Valeni and Foster, and one of the best people that I know, and I don't care what anybody says. People don't know Mike like I do. This guy's a top-notch friend and first class. But, Mike, let's call it what it is. Yesterday, I wonder how many people, and I heard you and Rieger a little bit today driving around. I don't know how many people are back after yesterday, but yesterday certainly, or Sunday, I should say, was definitely exciting. And I think apathy had set in for a little while, but Sunday's game brought some entertainment value and some hope, at least for one game, at least. What'd you think?
No, you nailed it. I'm not going to lie to you. When Prater missed the extra point, if someone tells you they didn't think, oh my God, it's happening, then they're lying to you. But they came down the field despite their head coach, which I'm sure we'll get into, and they came down the field and they got it done, and that's really what matters. But man, along the way, like I said it today, Caldwell is awesomeness. Awesomeness is Caldwell. They are in essence the same guy, where man, do you feel like that you win in spite of them, and that's disheartening. But yeah, short term, no, I mean, it's a game I expected them to win, and I'm glad they did. Otherwise, I would have caught some real hell today.
I'm with you. I said it last week. I thought the Lions should win that game. Matchup-wise, when you talk about the Colts having zero D-line and zero pressure on any quarterback, even when they had healthy guys, and then Jones is suspended and Langford's out, and then, of course, certainly when you talk about the Lions going up against the Colts offensive line, they actually didn't play very well defensively. The D-line, and I thought Ziggy Ansah was invisible, but hey, you go on the road.
Very disappointed. Yeah, very disappointed in the front four.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it on a snap-to-snap basis, Andrew Luck had the requisite amount of time, and he made him pay for it. I never in my wildest dreams thought Luck would drop back and stay clean on so many plays. I was very surprised by that.
But with that being said, the key to the whole thing, whether the Caldwell and Pagano, neither guy did a great job with the clock, whatever. But the bottom line is the quarterback that you're paying to carry you and having to carry you now that he's the one, the big three, two of them are gone. So Sue's gone, Calvin's gone. Stafford's got to carry you, and that was the best he's looked maybe ever the other day.
Yeah, and you know what? I to me, it's the easy thing to say is, all right, well, that's what he should do, and you're right. But how many times have you seen Stafford against bad teams or whatever the situation put up what we, you know, the meaningless numbers, or like you and I used to talk about it, Stat Padford. Well, okay, but it means something when you win. You know, I'm cynical, I know that, but I don't get to have it both ways. Like, this is a game where I look at it, and I thought it was the perfect game for him. Like, for the average fan, you look at it and you go, okay, well, there are the numbers. And, oh, man, I saw him on TV swearing at his teammates, which, by the way, it was awesome.
It was great.
But when you put it with a win, everything makes sense, and it all lines up. And at that point, you just tip your cap and go, you know what? That's a really nice job. So, yeah, for me, that's the best game I remember him playing. And that doesn't mean I'm right, and it's probably that emotional reaction to just seeing it. But that's the best game he's played where it all lined up. That on-field, like, you know, like the movie leadership where you're like, yeah, that's my guy. And he's screaming, telling his teammates, you know, dropping F-bombs. And he had the numbers, and they won the game. It all lined up. Like, that was perfect.
So how many games does this team win, you think?
Seven. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Seven. I think they're a seven-win football team. And that's not – look, Matt, I'll go game by game with it. No, I don't think they're a good football team. Like yesterday, yes, you faced a team that going into the game was down four or five starters, three of them in the secondary, including a Pro Bowler in Vontae Davis.
Right, and then they lost more.
Then they lost two corners in Patrick Robinson and Cromartie for times. I mean, you take the top four corners off any team in football, man, that's a dream come true for you as a quarterback. I get it, and I'm happy they won, but, like, move forward and look at the schedule. That's not going to be the case. I think there's going to be a lot of games where this team goes in, and because they don't really have vertical threats, you could say Marvin Jones here or there, but overall, like, throwing 80% of your passes to running backs is good. I mean, when the Saints used to do it, we all, like, drooled over it. But the good teams are going to have personnel where they're going to take that away from you.
Right. Eventually,
point,
right.
If you don't take the lid off the D,
right.
You're dead. You're dead. You know, the Lions look great running the ball all over the place. Well, look at the Colts front seven. I mean, that's where I got to say, hey, you got power down. And I know what's going to happen, Matty. They're going to come home, and they'll beat the Titans. They'll be 2-0. And I'm still going to tell you they're 7-19.
Well, are they going to go to Green Bay in week? Are they going to win back-to-back years at Lambeau? Come on.
Absolutely not.
Right, I mean,
not
come on.
Green Bay suffers amazing injuries. You know, I thought that was a really good win for Green Bay yesterday, you know, Sunday. And I know a lot of people go, well, it's the Jaguars. Who cares? But it was 115 degrees, humidity to kill you. You're not in game shape. It's just out of training camp. And I happen to think Jacksonville could be a playoff team. That might be the stupidest call of all time. But I really like what they've put together. And Green Bay got everything they can handle. That's an easy game for a veteran team to look at and go, ah, whatever, it's week one. But they won. They played tough. They made the stop they needed. And Aaron Rodgers looked awesome. So, no, I mean, it's Green Bay's class of the division. I don't even think the Lions are comparable.
Aaron Rodgers would look good if he had Dan Leach up front.
All right, next question.
I'll tell you that. I get more people come up to me and they're like, oh, do you listen to Mike and Terry? I said, I've been listening to these guys ever since I got let go at 105.1. Those are my guys. And they're like, man, Mike hates Leach. I'm like, oh, that's great radio right there.
I mean, look, I'm sure he's a good dude and whatever, but he just frustrates me. So that's where I'll leave that.
Oh, man. Mike Valenti with me. Of course, Valenti and Foster, 2 to 6 each and every day on 97.1 The Ticket. Mike's doing a new Sunday morning. What's the name of the Sunday morning show, by the way?
Game Day Uncensored.
Ooh, Uncensored.
And, you know, listen, that's a little much, but I didn't do the naming rights on it. But what I mean, no, it's not like we're going to sacrifice a chicken on the air. That's not what it is. But it's more uncensored in that. I think what they're going for is, look, it's going to be honest. And it's not going to be the propaganda machine that the team wants and desires. And that's what it is.
By the way, what do you think of Bob Quinn so far?
Not much. I mean, I don't know. I mean, kind of look at it. The team campaigned for the head coach before they hired a GM. Then they hire a guy who wasn't going to get hired anywhere else, and voila, the coach is here. And then, you know, I'm very, very, very skeptical based on who they hired, how he hired them, and frankly, the fact Caldwell's still here. I just never understand when you hire a new GM how you keep the coach.
But, you know,
that doesn't end well.
But if it takes another an extra year, I have no issue with that. If he's going to come in here and go, all right, I'm going to take a year of observation, take a look, a year of observation, you can use that, and take a look at everything, and maybe the players all elected to go into his office like Rudy with Ara Parseghian.
This one's for Rudy, coach.
No, I'm telling you, a lot of guys might have gone into the maestro's office and told Bob Quinn, hey, we want to stay with this guy. So maybe for a year, he's seeing what he has. I have no issue with that. This team wasn't going to go anywhere anyway.
When you look at the tape, here's what he has. A coach that can't count to 11 on special teams and can't get everybody out there. A guy who prepared for a pass back and forth kind of thing. And a guy who's one of the worst clock managers in the history of the league. Goodbye. Pack your stuff. Leave.
I'm not expecting anything this year. I expect them to look better than they looked last year. Maybe go 7-9, 8-8. Have some young guys out there, some of Quinn's own furniture in his house, and then Caldwell will be gone. That's kind of what I expect.
All right. Well, then at that point, I'll start to believe they could actually do something.
Let's talk Robin Ventura. How does he still have a job?
I don't know. I don't know how any manager in the Central has a job outside of yours. So just... whatever. It's Ned Yost, it's Ventura, it's Molitor. I don't understand any of it. No, I don't. I mean, it's...
We should do a baseball show.
Okay, we're done here. You're out of your mind. Listen, here's the key, Matt. Look at Caldwell yesterday, right? You look at what he did. Explain to me, right? Let's throw out the timeouts and end the debate.
Well, no, he should have taken one with like a minute and a half. He should have taken one with a minute 45. I mean, he got bailed out on the 1:15 one for sure.
No, and instead, here's what you get. People saying, well, Pagano used a couple, so he didn't have to. No, do the math. A minute 10 with two timeouts is better than, you know, 37 with three. Just do the math.
Right.
But go to the last play. How in good conscience do you run a play 12 seconds, no timeouts?
Well,
count the list of things that can go wrong on a play.
He obviously...
And then tell me how many things can go right.
He obviously had faith in his quarterback to roll left and just, all right, if there's nothing there, just chuck it into the third row. And that's what he did. That might have been... You're right. No, I don't just... If they hike the ball over his head or Swanson throws one at his feet, you're right. That's fireable after week one. It would have been.
What if there's a hands to the face? What if a lineman by accident gets a hand up? What if there's a procedural? What if when throwing the ball, it slips out of his hand? What if he throws, like yesterday, right? Raiders and Saints. What is it? Andre Holmes, the young kid who was from their practice squad, and he's a wide receiver for him now.
Right.
They throw a ball to him, and it's the easiest catch in the world. You know what happens? Bounces right off his chest, straight up in the air. Matt, there's so many things that can go wrong, and this guy's out there with that blank look on his face, no timeouts, running a play. It was asinine.
Thank goodness Stafford just threw it away. Could you imagine? Well, you look, I mean, the fans have seen it and been there, done that, but it was just nice. It was nice to get that kind of win and just have a different feel in the city for a couple days.
I'm fine with all of it, but it's the same, Matt, understand. Same deal a few weeks back when Ausmus decided, nah, I don't need to pitch to Hanley, who can't really do damage against righties, only does damage against lefties. I'm going to pitch to Mookie Betts with first base open. Yeah, they got out of it. They won the game against the Sox. Mookie Betts hits a laser.
Yeah, right at Kinsler, yeah.
The wrong move is the wrong move. And I just feel like at some point, unless you're supremely talented, those wrong moves, they're going to bite you. And I get sick of seeing guys who make so much money just not make the simple decisions. It's just crazy to me.
Isn't Brad just going to resign and move back to San Diego, and then 2 weeks later he'll be the Padres manager?
No, he's bad. Oh, please, he'll be here forever.
I don't know about that. All right, dude, great catching up with you. Hope all is well. How's Terry doing, by the way?
He's good. I saw him last week. Took him out for lunch. You know, I mean, man, you know me as well as anybody. I'm a super private guy. But, like, I haven't talked about it too much on the air because Terry does his talking for himself. But, no, I mean, he's getting there, and he's working hard, and he'll be back. He's just got to take his time and do it right and just, you know, not let a number define the recovery. And he'll be back. He will. And I'm never comfortable putting dates on recovery. Or, you know, this isn't like, hey, you know, Terry's out with a sprained ankle. This is different. This is serious business. So, yes, he'll be back. I'm not going to comment on the actual date he put out there or not. That's his business to do. But, yeah, he's getting there, man. He's really working on it.
Good. I remember playing softball with him a few years ago, and his, like, back went out or he hurt. Remember that bit? That was a classic.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, Mike, I'm on the floor in my house. I threw my back out. Oh, great. All right, talk to you Thursday. Yeah, I remember that one well. That was
You were in a good mood that day, if I recall. I believe I do. I'm sure. I had to calm you down a few thousand times.
I don't make any apologies for it. I don't, you know, work isn't playtime. Whatever. Yeah, you're right. What's the term you used to use for Cliff Lee? Red ass.
Red ass, yes.
I don't know. It's just how I am at work. And when I'm home, I'm different. And it is what it is. I don't know. It's not meant for everybody to understand. So it's just one of those things where it's how I'm wired, and it's worked for me, so that's what it is.
Man, it was great chatting with you in sort of an on-air capacity. Lions are off to a 1-0 start. Had to talk to you about it, certainly, and continued success at the ticket. Love the Sunday thing. I think it's great to bring in some more energy and fun to that slot. I think it'll be fun for you. I know you've been dying to do it. It's the Mike Francesa sort of show on Sunday mornings. I think it's cool.
Oh, it is. It is. That is the model. I'm not lying about it. It's just, it's something I think people here will like, and it's going to take time. I mean, it's like anything else. I don't think you just pop on and it just goes, it blows up. Like, you got to work at it and develop it. And, you know, I've already got ideas for week two, how I want to make it better, but I've got the right people with me. And I think there is a niche for it. You know, it's like any specialty show. Like, you do a fantasy show or a hockey show, or like you do a whatever, like on TV, they do the specialty like Spartans All Access or Inside Wolverines. It's a niche program. It's a niche deal. And you're trying to deliver that content to the right people. And I think it's different, and it's what people will want on a Sunday. And yeah, I'm excited to do it. It's my idea. I better be excited to do it, but yeah, I'm into it.
All right, next time I call you to do this, we'll break down Ed Davis' sixth year, all right?
Oh, let's talk about Dave Warner and his obsession with the Wildcat. I can't wait.
Hey, good luck Saturday. Good luck Saturday night, buddy.
Yeah, if you see white smoke emanating in the sky, it's me lighting my TV on fire when I see the Wildcat on third and four.
I wish I could say I could figure out MSU football for this season, but only one game against an FBS team and then a week off. I can't stand that.
All you're going to do is stress yourself out with it. I mean, I'm going into Saturday and just, it's hope. It's not expectation. Look, I'm not a Dave Warner guy. I know what people are going to say. Well, how can you complain? They've been so good. You're right. But it's just like Ausmus and it's just like Caldwell. They win in spite of themselves offensively. I never feel like we're ahead of the chains. I never feel like there's a rhythm, that there's a real tact. And then, you know, you get these moments where you can tell Warner's trying to be the smartest guy in the room, and oh, we're going to run a tight end reverse, or hey, we got an NFL quarterback, but let's run the Wildcat on third and six. You're going, what? Why? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just please, God, what are you doing?
Last few years, there would be, you're so right, there would be some times where Cook is just on it. You're moving down the field. Next, you know, here comes Damian Terry out there to just, you know, a jet sweep on second and seven for 2 yards. Now it's third and five, and Cook runs back out onto the field ice cold after standing on the sidelines.
Or better yet, I mean, here you go. On third and four, you've got the whole playbook available. Why are you throwing back shoulder fades 18 yards down the field? I mean, you've got so much available to you. There's just these, okay, MSU runs a pro-style offense. We all know it, right? Mm-hmm. Not a spread, not one of these hokey-pokey college offenses. How many slants do you see? How many slant and goes? How many deep posts? How many deep crossing routes? How many nine routes? You don't see a lot of the principles of the pro-style offense, and you can't tell me that it's on the quarterbacks when Dave Warner's had NFL guys. And I don't know, man. I look at Saturday, and you know how to beat Notre Dame. You know exactly what their weakness is. And they are – you want to talk about a team being thin with the Colts in the secondary?
Yeah, yeah.
Go look at the Irish. You know the deal. And Brian Kelly's going to do one of two things with Brian Van Gorder. It's really Van Gorder's show defensively. It's not like Kelly cares about defense. The point is they're either going to come out, do what they do, and you have to challenge them down the field, or they're going to flip the script and play super, super soft zone. Keep everything in front of us, make you throw it 30, 40 times, and we'll live with completions. Well, either way, your offensive coordinator has to do the right things, and there's not a huge margin. You're on the road, it's at night, and guess what? I really don't know if our defense is going to be able to stop Notre Dame. So it's a race to 30, and you better have your game face on. And like every year as State fans, we sit there and, you know, like people go, oh, well, don't worry, they're saving it for X. Oh, well, they're saving it for Michigan, or they're saving it for OSU. And you know what happens? You see the same thing. D'Antonio is Tressel. Tressel is D'Antonio. From an on-field perspective, they run a Tressel ball deal where you win in spite of the offense, and they'll show you some wrinkles. But overall, this is who we are. We're going to be stubborn. We're going to prove to you that, you know, we're going to do what we do. And that drives me nuts. You know what Alabama came into the game doing? Hey, we have a Heisman Trophy winner. That's cool. No, we're not going to pound a rock because you're absolutely awful in the secondary. And you know what they came out doing? Throwing the ball. And Lane Kiffin might be a jerk, and Saban might be intolerable, but man, they're smart. And that's exactly what they did. Why ram your head into a wall when you can just take the expressway? So Saturday night, every time they're going to sit there and try to force a run inside, right at Daniel Cage, or, hey, it's first down, let's pound the rock, you know, pound green, pound. Dude, that's the wrong way to do it.
But at times I do like that is your identity, and it's how you beat Iowa. But again, sometimes it does depend on matchups. I hear what you're saying.
Mitigating circumstance there is we had a quarterback with one arm. But yes, Matt, you're right. I never want to totally go against the identity of the team. But there are matchups. There are certain Saturdays that require a different tact, that demand it. And when you don't do it, you're not doing your job as a coach. Your job isn't to be, stubborn. Your job is to put the kids in the best position to succeed. And when you don't do that, you failed as a coach.
Look, all you got to do is win that Notre Dame game. It's smooth sailing, and I'll see you at Ram in Indy on that side, and for that side booth.
Yeah, the old six-seater where the bars are putting in 500 people in a 300-capacity bar. Yeah.
Oh, that was some scene a few years ago.
I don't know. Matt, I think they're a 9-3 team. I that's just how I feel. I don't know. I don't know anything about Michigan. I don't know anything about Michigan State. You need time. Michigan will look at the Wisconsin game. For State, we'll know more this Saturday, but who knows? The schedules are terrible. Complete waste of time the first week or two.
All right, brother. Great catching up.
All right. Thanks for leaving it on a negative note and talking Dave Warner. I'll talk to you later.
That's not my fault. You brought it. You brought his name up.
You baited me right into it. Yeah. You knew what would happen.
Ooh, you want me to talk about Wilton Spate, September Heisman? We could do that.
All right. We're good. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir. See ya.
All right, always great catching up with Mikey V. Mike Valeni from 97.1 The Ticket. Check out his new show on Sunday mornings as well. And, of course, Valeni and Foster 2 to 6 each and every day on The Ticket. That'll wrap things up for another edition of Locked On Lions. We'll dive into next week's opponent, the Titans, tomorrow. Matt Derry with you on Locked On Lions. See ya.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.